After Perikei Beis, we have the Perikei Beis Pasuk Chet on page 178. This is a very famous Pasuk. This Pasuk is the Bukhar. Everyone quotes this Pasuk. Why in Eretz Yisrael is so fundamental? Why is the nation of Canaan called Canaan? Why are they called the land of the Canaanim? Lo seis lachem es Eretz Canaan. So here we have a Pasuk that tells us Canaan biyadai moizne mirma. So here, all the Mepharshim, they cite this Pasuk right. as the Makar for what, how did it come about? They were called Canaan. Canaan literally means a merchant.
That's right.
Look here in the Mitzudos Tzion, Canaan, what is Canaan? Is a Tagar. Tagar is a merchant. V'soicher, okay, two different words which mean the same thing, merchants. V'cheim, the Chagar, Nosna, Laknani, okay, we have it also. So another Pasuk that we quote often is in Eish Eschayil. The Chagor Nosta Laknani, she gave her a belt that this Ish, this Eish Eschayil, she was in business. This Eish Eschayil is an entrepreneur. She manufactures belts. And Nosta Laknani, she is the supplier. She is the wholesaler. She has a business where she manufactures belts and gives the belts to the merchants. Why would a woman want to be involved in the belt
That's
business? Yeah.
By Asia. Right?
Shol ben Akhnanis. Also, there also says, merchant. He married a rich girl. Her father was a merchant. Kananis. Okay, so over here, this is just going off on a tangent. Why is this woman involved in the belt business? Why would a woman, why? The answer is, what is a belt? The belt is what's... Well, Gartel was, because what is the belt? The belt is something which is Havdalah. Mavdil bin Kodesh L'chol. That's why everyone wears a belt. We may not put on a Gartel, what?
The belt was invented by Muhammad.
Yeah.
To one of his Yarshim.
Yeah.
The Jews, he invented a yellow star for the Catholic, for the Knights, for the belt.
A belt.
That was a symbol that they were.
They were Christians. Okay, but the belt goes back to Am Chazal, Avitam the Torah, and the belt is very significant in Halacha because the lower part of the body represents the Gashmias, and the upper part of the body, the lave, the heart, represents the spirituality. So when we daven before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we put on a belt. We don't realize that Ashkenazim, the elastic in our undergarments in Halacha is considered a belt. If you're wearing a belt, that's even better. Today, the trend is a new Mishigas today. Today, among the boys, the new trend is they don't wear belts. It's a new style. Ever hear this?
And the shirts out also.
No, not suspenders. No belts. Go look at the yeshiva boys today. The yeshiva boys today. They don't wear belts. I once asked the yeshiva, I said, what's this, all the guys? No one's wearing a belt. That's the new style. It's a new fashion trend. A new fashion trend not to wear a belt. Not suspenders. Okay, but in any event, a belt represents the havdalah between the spiritual part of the body and the material part of the body, the physical, the taiva. So when we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we symbolically separate ourselves from our physical being and we put on a belt. It's a symbolic act. Hasidim obviously wear a garaton. Right, the Kohen wears it, correct. The Kohen wears an Avnet. There's a lot of significance because the belt of the Kohen Gadol is not the same belt as the Kohen Hegit. The Kohen Gadol wears a belt of Shatnez, according to one opinion.
Same idea,
right? That's the idea. That's where it all comes from. It all comes from the mavdil between Kodesh and Chol, between Taiva, the lower portion of the body is... This is below the belt, right? There's an expression, below the belt.
I've never heard someone use a term, I haven't coined it, and I've never heard it since. He talked about subgartelian urges.
Subgartelian urges. I gotta write that one down. Remind me later to write that one down.
I heard this a long time ago.
Rabbi
Tesla.
Abuse. It's Derech Saginar for people who are suspect of being... Don't belong in the classroom, to say the least. Or in the rabbinate.
Rabbi Tendler said, constantly every time somebody brought up something about Hasidim, he said, too many Hasidim wear their belts so tight they have gangrene.
Ooh.
Why do they put on a garter if they're wearing a belt?
So it's l'shem mitzvah. It's in order to add to enhance this idea. Even though you have a belt, you're right. That's what we rely upon. In Shulchan Aruch, you have to have a belt. It's not a joke. In Shulchan Aruch, it says that when you daven, you have to have a belt. It's no joke. So what do Ashkenazim rely upon? Who do not wear garatul? The elastic in their undergarments. That in halach is considered a belt. And if you wear a real belt, certainly that's sufficient. But by Hasidim, in addition, they want to put on a religious belt. And that's the garatul, in order to enhance. Look, when you wear a kittel, even the Litvaks, they wear a kittel. So they also, every kittel comes with a belt. It's not just an axe that comes with a belt. There is significance. You put the kittel, you wear the belt.
Commercial belts also, they have commercial belts. Like, very constant. Movement, like on the car.
No, that's for Davino. Okay, no, that's just a term that's used in the way. So here we have this one, the Canaan, let's just go side topic. Okay, the Isha, okay, we have the word Canaan. Canaan is a merchant. Canaan is a merchant, the Tagra. It would seem also from the Pasuk of a Chag Nosan La Canaani, it means that he's a retailer. See, there are different types of merchants. There's merchants who are wholesalers, and there are merchants that are retailers. Is a Kanani a retailer or a wholesaler?
I'd say a retailer.
How do you know that?
Wandering
from houses. How do you know it's a retailer? That's not a wholesaler. Well, from the case from the Isha, V'chagor Nosna La Kanani, it would appear to say, and not necessarily, I'm not sure. You have to be ma'ayne, would there be an afgamina? But any of it over here, the Pasuk is complaining that the Canaan, biyodei moizni yirma, la'a, shoik, ohev, they have in their hands scales of deceit in order to rob. La shoik means extortion, robbery, ohev, the one that he loves. It's bad enough to rob your enemies. But when you rob your the ones that you love, your family and your friends, that's really bad. That's really, that's the set. That's a very, very horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why he translates it with a slightly different term. Because he's not talking about here a respectable merchant. He's talking about,
deceitful.
He uses the word trafficker.
Who used the word? The Judaica press.
So that's a negative.
A negative connotation, a negative connotation of a merchant. Okay, so the Canaanim, so now we go back and we understand why was Eretz Yisrael called Canaanim? That's what their trade was. They were merchants. And in fact, that was the center of the civilized world in ancient times, where all people would gather to engage in commerce. If you manufactured a product, where would you go to trade, to barter, to present your product to the world? You went to Eretz Yisrael, you went to the nations of Canaan, because that is where the activity, where all international trade took place.
And
that all the trade routes, Akol Hoylech El Mokoy Mecha, they all wound up in Eretz Yisrael. That was the center of international commerce. And I know what you call international, I don't know what you mean international, but it means the whole civilized world.
From Asia to Africa, to Egypt, to the east, to north and south.
That's what was in ancient times before Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why they call the seven nations of Canaan, because these were the seven nations where of international trade. And this pasuk, more so than any other pasuk, is cited as the source, as the precise translation of a Canaani. A goyim, they're called Canaan. And it means international trade. Interesting that slaves are also called, we now use those words, it turned in over time to a very negative word. It refers to a slave.
Right.
A
Canaanite.
So that's
human
a
human trafficking.
So you want to say that you say that's what they were doing in the ancient times, that was the main trade in Eretz Canaan of human trafficking? Not necessarily. We don't necessarily say that.
Yeah, but if it's here in this passage.
All it says here is that Canaan, biyadoi, in his hands are scales of deceit, which he uses to rob or have those whom he loves. And that's a very frightening thing, to rob those that you love. Let's see the Mitzudot stuff in Pasuk Ches. Yes, the word Lashok means to rob. Look in the Mitzudot Tzion.
Okay.
It means, it's a word which can mean many, many things. Normally it means to rob, it means extortion. Extortion is where you take by force. I pay you, Here's the money. I don't want. It's not for sale. Yes, it is for sale. Here's $10.
You can refuse.
Offer you exactly, but you do pay for it. That's still called gezel, and in some respects, that's even worse because by when you rob, at least when a person is robbed, he's not paid. At least he has a way to go to court. This item I have can prove to you was mine, and money was never given. And if you have a court of law, if there's some type of mishpat in this world, you can go to the judge and say, listen, it was stolen. And you file a police report, and maybe you'll get it back. But if money was paid, and you go to the judge, and you say, this thing was stolen from me, and he gave me money, the judge will say, I'm sorry, you got money. And this was, and you hand it over. You have to prove to me. I don't believe you. Who says that you gave it away against, it was taken against your will? Maybe you agreed to go through with the transaction, and only now you have charata and you want your money back. It in a certain sense.
It's played out now at times. Reparations from Germany and Poland.
What do you mean?
Even though they had documents that the house was sold,
yeah,
the people were still able to get their money because it was a forced sale.
It was a forced sale. Okay, so sometimes it works. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. Let's see the Mitzudos, David Pasukes, Kenan, Ritzayna Leimar, Avalata. Here, the Navi is criticizing the Jewish people. Avalata, Kisoicher Haramai. You are a deceitful merchant. Asher biyadoi moizne mirma ve'oiv la'ashoik, you love es habriyos. Okay, la'ashoik. Now, I translate the word ohev means one who you love. That's not how the Mitzudos translates. He learns that you love la'ashoik ohev. This is what you love to do. You have a pleasure in robbing and stealing from other people. So that's a sickness. Sometimes people, they rob because they have no choice. They have children to feed. Okay, they have to keep up with social pressure. But to just do it just because you love to do it, that's a sickness.
Okay. To get over on the next person.
So that's what it's over here. He learns from the pasuk. Can I be the words? Remember, la'ashoik ohev. They love, they enjoy engaging in this activity. Rashi pasuk ches. Okay, Kenan biyadai Rashi over here. You know, Rashi goes through a few psukim. So maybe what we should do is we should wait for the Rashi. We'll hold back on the Rashi until we go through the next few psukim. Okay, let's just first see over here. Let's just take a look over here at the Radak. Radak pasukes Kenan short Radak. Kenan biyadai viata einata kein elata kumoya Kenan. You are not. This pasuk, according to Radak, is very good. He explains that it continues from the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk, Kadosh Baruch Hu, he demands of us to do three things. We learned yesterday, Hashem wants us to do teshuva. Hashem wants us to engage in chesed and mishpat. Hashem wants us to put our hope in Him. And here, the next pasuk says, unfortunately, you do none of the above. You do not the ato ain ato kain elo ato kmo hakanan. You are like a Kanan. Who is the Kanan? That's a suas soicher. Asher biyadoi moizne mirma. You have in your hands scales of deceit. La ashoik ohev hepach, the opposite of chesed umishpat shemar. Okay, you are the opposite of justice and staka. Then the Yonis and Tergim law sahoin kitagorin dividehoin moizen dinachil to an instruction. Over here, according to the Targum, it's not a statement, rather, it's a continuation of the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk, Shem Kodesh Baruch Hu, is coming to demand from us three things. This pasuk is the fourth demand, and it's what we should not do. We should not be like a Canaan, which is biyodin moizen mirma. And we love to steal. We should not do that. Let's see the Malbim.
Don't we have a principle that the Makom influences us?
Absolutely.
So why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu make this kind of atmosphere in Eretz Canaan?
Well, we drove them out.
No, but...
First of all, it does not necessarily mean in Eretz Canaan they were deceitful in their business. All you can argue, yeah, I know you'll argue back and forth, maybe, but all we use this pasuk is to teach us that a Kanaan means merchant. In this pasuk, the Kanaan is a deceitful merchant. There's a Kanaan, Asher biyadoi moizne mirma. It does not mean that every merchant is deceitful. A Kanaan just generally means a soicher, a merchant. Eretz Yisrael was called Eretz HaKanani because it was the center for international trade. Now you'll ask me another question. Well, what were the business ethics? Was there theft? Was there oinah? Was there ethics? That's a separate issue.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily... What?
If that were the reputation, then that wouldn't be a commercial center. I mean, you couldn't get away with it. Yeah.
You couldn't get away with it for a long time.
So when they settled there, the land was changed based on the... Because the character of the people changed the land.
Hashem told us to drive out these people, to kill them, to murder them. What was the primary sin of the Kananim? Avodah Zarah and Gil Yerayas. The primary sin we find in the Torah is the abominations of idolatry and Arayas. They engaged in the worst type of illicit relations.
Right.
That's the primary. Do we find in the Torah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu criticized them, they're all ganavim, they're all deceitful? Maybe we do, but I don't recall that being the primary issue.
No.
And so the word Kanaan, does, even though in the context of this pasuk it represents deceit, but that does not appear to be the primary translation of the word Kanaan. Kanaan simply means a merchant. There are all different types of merchants. There are honest merchants and there are deceitful merchants. In this pasuk, it happens to be that this Kanaan, biyadoi, moznei, mirma, he has scales of deceit. It does not mean every Kanaani is a deceitful merchant. Okay, let's see the Malbim. The Malbim pasuk has Kanaan, hinei ad ato, der mash omar, sivvuni bachachash Ephraim. Until now, we've been explaining what it means that the Ephraim has surrounded me with deceit. Until now, if we go back a number of psukim, the complaint that Hashem has against the Aseres Hashvatim is in their worship of idols. The primary focus for the last number of psukim has been idolatry. The fact that they deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Lord, that He is in control of everything that takes place in the heavens. Now we're switching gears. We're now focusing on Musar ben Adam l'chaveray. Ato yivo'er masha amar b'mirma beis Yisrael masha chotu ben Adam l'chaveray b'mirma v'oina. Now we're focusing on sins that are taking place between men, between Adam and Chaveroi, the seed of Noah, Yinei HaKanaan, HaSoich HaOyusek, the Mischa Oiches, Biyadoi, Moiz Nemirma, Al Yidei Shehoiv LaHashoik, someone who loves to rob. Now there's a very important thing that we have to pay a Rambam. It's very fascinating. I read this actually this week in editorial in Ami magazine. It sounds very, very fascinating. What was it about? I don't remember the details. It's contrasting Lincoln. Lincoln, my cousin, he would love it. He's really into this stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the Nevi'im, okay, I don't remember all the details, but the basic gist is that in the Rambam, Hilchos Teshuva, he says that when you give a person Musa, you only, and the person is guilty of two different types of sins. He's guilty of sins bin Adam l'makoyim, and guilty of sin bin Adam l'chaveray. The rule is you only give Musar in public for sins bin Adam l'mokay. You do not give Musar in public for sins bin Adam l'chaveray. It's a very fascinating concept. You have a person who's an avargan, he's doing a lot of things that are wrong, Adam l'mokay l'chaveray, and you want to publicly put this person down only ben Adam l'makoyim, not ben Adam l'chaveray, and that's what says in the Rambam, and we find examples of this from the Nevi'im. defined by the Nevi'im where they were told to free their slaves. It's one of the Haftarahs that we very rarely read. Remember, Haftarah Be'parashas Mishpatim is a Haftarah that we very rarely read because it usually falls out one of the Dala Parashios. Mishpatim Shkalm. So there it talks about that. Who is it? Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah gave Musar to the people that they should free their slaves. Okay, they should free their slaves. And Yirmiyah did not, there were other problems taking place that we know for a fact in there taking place that he did not give bin Adav Lachaveroi, to which he did not give Musar. Now the issue of freeing slaves is primarily an issue bin Adav Lamokoim, because the Torah says, I don't remember all the details, but it's a very interesting Rambam, and answers a lot of questions that we have with regard to Nevi'im, why they gave Musar for certain things, and we don't find them giving public Musar for other things, even though the Pasuk tells us that there were sins taking place in Adam Lachaveiro. Here it's very, very fascinating what the Malam is saying. The Malam is saying, until now, we've been discussing all of the sins bin Adam Lamokim. Adam Lamokim, people are worshipping idols. They denied Hashem's Hashkocha Pratis. And now the Malam says, we're shifting to the sins bin Adam Lachaveiro, Kinan, V'yaday Moiznei Mirma. This is all good and true. So how do you want to do that? The Rambam, this is connected to Rambam. The Rambam says when you give Musar in public, you only give Musar in public in Adam Lamakan. You don't give Musar in Adam Lachaveroi. So what are you going to say? You have to say that that's Hashem giving the Musar. But is it really Hashem giving the Musar? Is it not the Navi giving the Musar? When do you say the words of the Navi are his own? And when do you say the words of the Navi are being related? He's just being a mouthpiece for the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't know where to draw that distinction. You cannot deny what it says in the Rambam. And this Rambam indeed answers a lot of interesting questions. I'm trying to bring back my memory. Where,
first of all, why is there a difference between the Malkam and the Haver?
Also, I don't know. I don't know. You have
the
to,
other thing is, perhaps, is there a difference when you're giving an individual Musar?
Giving to the Tzibur. It seems not. It seems in the Rambam, I have to go back to the sources, is that when in society there's problems, but Adam Lachaveiro, the approach has to be, obviously you have to do things, you have to make announcements in public, but the approach has to be more hands-on, privately. You have to go to the people, each one at a time, speak to them individually, and discuss the issue with them. When it comes to Ben Adam Lamakim, you get it from the pulpit, from the bima, and you tell the people that what you're doing is a Chil Hashem, it's Kineged Kol HaTorah Kula. Sins between one another, even if it's widespread, the approach has to be from within. You have to approach the individuals privately and say, you know, let's
individual.
Okay. So it's a very interesting realm. I mean, had I known that we would come to this, I would have paid much closer attention. Maybe look it up. But it's interesting because here we see now at least the Malm, the way he expresses it is, we're shifting between Adam Lamakoim, Adam Lachaveroi, and there is very powerful Musar for both of these things. And let's go to, before we do the Rashi, let's go to the next few Pesukim, Pasuk Ches, Vayom Ephraim. Ephraim says, Ach Asharti. Ephraim, of course, refers to the Aseres HaShvatim. Ach Asharti, Matsasi Oin, Li, Kol Yigi'ai Lo Yimsu Li, Avoin Asher Cheda. I'm not even going to attempt to translate that because I'm not going to do it just. Let's see the Mitzuto stuff. He'll do much better than I can. Pasuk Tes Veim Ephraim Ritzur Leimar. The Oid Yosef Pesha Ki Yom Ephraim. According to the Mitzuto, this is his approach. Not everyone's going to agree to this. Is that this is a quotation? Hoshea is now repeating. He's pulling out the videotape, taking out the audio recording, and he is quoting what Ephraim said. Ritzon Eloimar, V'oid Yosef Pesha, Ki Yoimer Ephraim, Yaseres HaShvatim state, Ach Hasiba She'or Sharti, the cause of my becoming wealthy, Hu Bavur Ki Motzasi Li Oin, Oin means power. Okay, Oin is power. V'koyach Le'soif Hoin, I have power to accumulate wealth. V'loi Hashem Po'al Kol Zos. It's not due to Hashem's blessing. The Yomer, what else does Ephraim say? B'chol yigi'ai, hu ho'esha habab yigi'ah. Hine, all of the wealth which has come through the efforts of my toil. Hine b'chuloi lo yimotze li ovoin. I have done nothing wrong. They are in a state of denial. Asher yacheto adam bohena, ritzon lemar, ein b'shem nid nud gezel v'oina. There is no mashu. There is no teeny
tinge
of theft or wrongdoing. Kiyach shav shein hamokim baruchu makir b'masav. They are outsmart Hashem. They fool themselves into believing that they have done nothing wrong. Now we go back to pasuk. We turn to the pasuk and start pointing to Yisudos. What else has Ephraim done wrong? Vayomer Ephraim achosharti. It's motzasi own. You have to really translate the words backwards. That due to my own, due to the fact that I myself have found strength, inner strength, my own strength, that is how asharti, that is the way I have achieved success. And ach is a very powerful word. Ach means only. The only cause for my success is my brilliance and my hard work. It has nothing to do with Hashem's blessing. Hashem cannot get in my way. Someone said to Chavetz Chaim that my assets are diversified all over the world. And I have it perfectly diversified in every stock in the world. And if one country falters, the other one will go up. And this happens, I'm protected from this dimension. He was a world-class economist. And he understood exactly how the world worked. And he diversified his assets to guarantee that he cannot become poor. And he told this to the Chafetz Chaim. And he said to the Chafetz Chaim, so what can Hashem do to me? Hashem's going to have to destroy the whole world in order to take away my money. So the Chafetz Chaim said to him, you're right. Hashem, you outsmarted Hashem. Hashem cannot take the money away from you, but Hashem can take you away from the money. And that means many things. Like, it doesn't just mean he'll die. It means, we see this unfortunately, people have no satisfaction from life. They can have everything, but life is nothing to them, because the agmas nefesh that they deal with, even little things, denies them the simcha sachayim. So here, over here, Ephraim says, ach, the only cause for my wealth is because I have found power. And all of v'chol yigiyai lo matzasi li avon, this is the next terrible thing, is that there's no sin. All of my efforts, the cause for my wealth has not come about through any sin whatsoever. Lo yimsu li avon asher chata. Who can say that today? Today, unfortunately, most people are very, very wealthy. Most come into corporation. It's all through slave labor. Okay, third world countries. Are they really happy, these people in these third world countries who are manufacturing products and sitting and killing their eyes to make smartphones? You know, a lot of slave labor goes into making one of these.
I think they're very happy to have a job.
They are and they're not.
They're very, very happy.
They are and they're not. Okay, I don't know. This is not. I'm not saying this is an ongoing debate that's been going over in the world for centuries. Yeah.
How would you translate ach here?
Ach means only, only the only way.
Let me suggest something else.
Okay.
He says surely, and I can think of another example that ach from Rakesed Yerdafuni. Also translated
surely. Okay, so it's similar to the word only, isn't it? Surely means with certainty. All right, it's a little bit different. It's a different idea. Ach. Okay, so let's do one more pasuk yud. One more pasuk. Pasuk yud. V'anochi Hashem Elokecha mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem responds, and Hashem says, "It's not so. It is I, Hashem Elokecha mi'eretz Mitzrayim." Ode. I will return you to your tents like your days of meeting. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Yud. V'yonochi Avon. Haloi onochi Hashem Elokecha me'eis hoitzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim v'oz ani bi'atzmi mashpil lucha toiva. You're making a big mistake, Hashem says in response. It's not your koichi v'yitzim yodi. It's not so. It's not due to your success. It's because I have taken you out of Egypt, and from the day that I have taken you out of Egypt, I have bestowed upon you success. Mashpil chatoivu mashkiach b'maasecha b'hashkocha pratis. Lo al yidei emtsois malachim ma'alok derech goyim haratzos. Not through intermediaries. Oid, now here the frightening words. Oid oishivcha b'oholim. Oid yavoi zman. Asher teitse mehadolov yoishiv oischa b'derech v'oholim. The day will come when I will take you out of exile. So this is good according to the Mitzudos. And I will return you on the derech in tents. Kimo b'mei hazman ahu shiyotza m'yeretz shayim ki ad oilam lo yisosur hashko chosti mimcha. So here, over here, Hashem is interesting. Hashem over here is telling us something very good, even though we're very bare. Even though Hashem is just reminding us, I'm in control. I took you out of Mitzrayim, I was very good to you, and the day will come when I will return you. Moed here means zman. Kimei moed, like the days of, like olden days. You're in Galus now, but the time will come when I will return you to Eretz Yisrael. Chadesh yomenu kikedem, just like back in the day when I was with you and I brought you to Eretz Yisrael. Although you're in Galus now, I will return you and you will once again possess Eretz Yisrael. Okay, now this is the Mitzvah. Let's take a look at Rashi, these three children together, how he puts all these three children together. Back in the previous page, on page 178. Pasuk Rashi goes through the three psukim. It's Marach. Pasuk Chesru. Pasuk Yud. Kenan. B'yodoy Moizne Mirma. Atem Soimchim al Bitzachem Shatem Socharim V'ramoim. You rely upon your prophet. The word Betza means prophet. The prophet, your merchants, and your Ramon, you are deceitful. V'al Oishruchem Atem Oimim. Concerning your wealth, you say, Ach Osharti. It's my wealth. It's my success. I don't need Hashem. The Lama Evoides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why should I worship Hashem? Matzasi Ovoin. Koyach. Oin. Matzasi Oin. I have found power. Oin means power. And my wealth has come due to my success. Umedrish HaGadosh HaYadorish Rabbi Shimon. Zatzal. Interesting over here. Or Shimshon Zatzal. Very interesting. You don't see Rashi using these elaborate expressions. Zecher Tzadik Levracha. This is not something that we really have. In fact, Zecher Tzadik Levracha in the Gemara is used for the living. In the Gemara it says Zecher Tzadik explicitly for today. For some reason we use it in reference to the dead. But in the Gemara it was used for the living. So it's not so if someone makes a mistake and they write about a living person, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, because it's really living. And what does he say? Matzasi Oin Li. What does it mean? I found power to me. So here he translates the word own as a document. Matzasi Li Shtar Choiv Sheyesh Li Malchus Al Yisrael. I found for myself a document, Shtar Choiv, that I have Malchus. Meaning that there's going to be a nation that's going to subjugate the Jewish people. What do we mean? Vayelchu gam echa, vayiplu, hinenu l'chol avodim. Oinli, dini, shtar. I have a document, a shtar. Kimo kaisim olov ono. This is a Gemara, this is an Aramaic term. In the Gemara used the word own as a reference for a deed. Uchmo be'oni echad, uvitime Uvitime achas bebereshis rabba. I don't know what the word tima means, but it means some type of document. Now, what a deed? Okay, so now what does all of this mean? So he now explains. Zel perusha. Vayoymer Ephraim. Ach asharti motzosi oinli. Who is Ephraim? Ephraim is Yeravam ben Nevat, the leader of the Aseres Hashvatim. Yeravam ben Nevat shu mishevet Ephraim. Misvar biatzmai, he takes pride in himself. The Urbani says, "Ach osharti motzasi oinli shtar echot." I have one document that states, "Shekol Yisrael avodim li." All of the Jewish people are my slaves. Why would he say such a thing, like such a crazy thing like that? Sheavi kana oisam, my father Yosef, he acquired the whole Klal Yisrael. Everyone in Klal Yisrael was sold into slavery to my father Yosef. There are 12 Shvatim, and 11 of the Shvatim are slaves to my father Yosef. The Chsiv, Vayelchu, after the death of Yaakov Avinu, what does it say in Parashas Vayichi? Is Vayichi or Vayigash? Vayichi, Vayelchu Gamecha, Vayipul Lufanova, Yermu, Hinim Lchol Avodim, we are going to be your slaves. Oh, so therefore, I'm entitled. I am entitled to be the Melech. Umasha Kone Evid Kone Rabbi. And therefore, everything which all of the Klal Yisrael have accomplished all these years by conquering Eretz Yisrael, it all comes to me.
Is the only one in Shevet Ephraim?
He took leadership. He was the leader.
People
so his Shevet. So his Shevet, Ephraim and Binyamin. Ephraim and Binyamin, I guess what about Binyamin? Also, he's also a brother, right? But why is he the Yosh?
No,
the, Menashe. So why is he the Yorish?
Self-appointed.
Of course, this whole thing is nonsense. But yeah. Someone who wants to go and dray like this.
He started crying when they said this.
He accepted it. He was crying out of love, out of happiness. It's all a matter of interpretation.
It's all a matter of interpretation.
If you don't want to be honest, you want to be crumb, you'll always find a way to outsmart someone. That's the Moizni Mirma. V'chol memoinem shali. Everything, it's an amazing chazal. Everything belongs to Klaishu, belongs to me. L'fichach ein bichet. Therefore, there is no sin im etol if I steal everything from the Jewish people. Kol asher lohem ki hem avodai. Umasha kosuv. Now, what then does it mean in the next pasuk? Umasha kosuv achrav v'anochi Hashem lukecha v'eretz Mitzrayim. Gidul habo le'avicha b'mitzrayim me'iti ha'isa. This is a continuation of the words of Yosef. All of the good things that happened to Klal Yisrael in Egypt, the fact that they had a place to live, they lived in Goshen, and they were successful, it's only because of my father. My father was the Mishnah Lamelech, and therefore the Egyptians had a debt to my father for sparing them from the famine. And all of the good life of the Jewish people, the Bizas Mitzrayim, that they enjoyed was only because of my father Yosef. So Hashem says to him, Hashem says, this that it says, that you didn't forget. It's selective. They talk about people who have a selective yichus. Select few people they know, they come very, they bring out their yichus. They come from this rebbe and that rebbe and that rebbe. It's called selective yichus. They don't tell you they also come from a big ganav and a big manuvel and a big this and a big that. Yeah, this Zaydi was a big rebbe and the other one was a ganav. And this rebbe was a big tzaddik, the other was a big rush. Selective yichus. So this Hashem says, Hinenu l'chol avodim, this past that all of the brothers declared before Yosef, will be your slaves, I didn't forget. Aval, by Matan Torah, when Hashem said to Gans Klal Yisrael, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Shenema Baseres Adibros, oh, that you conveniently forgot. Shachachta, Shemadato Hashnei Ha'agolim, you established two eglays of one in Basel, one in Dan, Echad v'Basel v'Echad v'Dan. So therefore, that is the drush of the pasuk. So now let's try to go back and read the pasuk according to the period. This medrash of Rashi. The medrash of Rashi here is Kanan the other was the Mirmala Shoyk. Okay, the Vayom Ephraim is Yos is Yom Menavot Ach Asharti Motzasi Oin. So reading pasuk test, Yeravam Ben Nevat says, I have achieved success, wealth. I dominate the entire Klal Yisrael. I own the whole land. And why? I am entitled to it. Motzasi Oin. I have found a document. The document is nothing other than the Torah. Parshas Vayichi. In Parshas Vayichi, this document, this piece of parchment that's found in every Sefer Torah, it says, Hinenu l'cho la'avodim. I found this only, and therefore kol yigiyai, all of my success, all of the wealth that I've accumulated by stealing from the Jewish people, lo yimtsu li ovoin asher chet, you're not going to find any wrongdoing. This that I stolen, I have acquired all of the assets of the Jewish people, mm-hmm. because in the own, the parchment found in the Sefer Torah in Parashas Vayechi, it says, Hinenu l'cha la'avodim.
End of the Miketz.
Yeah?
So maybe it means all the Yigiyah Satira that I have. So I'm a big tzaddik.
Yeah, that doesn't relate to the parish here. I hear what you're saying, but I think in Rashi's Medrash that he's quoting, Rashi Shimshon, he's saying Yigiyah means wealth.
Did he see that he was rich? He owned the whole Klal Yisrael.
He was the Melech of Aser Zashlatim. A melech can do whatever he wants. No, that's what he's talking about. That's exactly what this man is saying. The man over here is saying that the word Ephraim refers specifically to Yerovam ben Nevat. Ephraim is synonymous with Yerovam ben Nevat. He established his malchus, and he possessed, he was in control. All of the wealth of the whole Klal Yisrael kemat came into his pockets. It was under his authority. Yeah?
Yeah. So, I mean, we see elements of Mida connected Mida here, because his argument was, I've got legal right to everything all the rest of you own. Hashem says, I got a document too. And I have priority. Eminent domain. You and everything else.
Exactly. That's exactly the response.
Yeah.
So the next words are, Hashem says, V'yonochi Hashem lokecha mi'eretz Mitzrayim, that you forgot.
Yeah.
That you forgot. And the Medrash does not go on to explain the end of the pasuk. Od oshivcha v'olim kimei moed. Seemingly, that would mean that according to the Medrash, it means that Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to take Yerovam ben Nevat. I'm going to put you in your place. I'm going to bring you back to your place. You're not going to be like days of old where you were not so arrogant. You were not in control. You conveniently forgot that Hashem is the master and you are not the master. Okay, that's is
a
very.
I just wanted to point out, you know, the dual meaning of Om, Kaya, and Shtar, we have it in English also. The power of attorney.
Right.
The pat means power. The word power.
Or
a shtar is power.
Or authority.
Authority. So it's a borrowed term.
Yeah.
The real. So what is the real translation? Is the real translation a document and power is a borrowed term? Or is the real meaning power and a document is the bar? Because it all means the same thing. The one who has power is the one who has the document. That's the ultimate power. Okay, so this is this very beautiful parish. Either from Rabbeinu Shimshon or Rabbi Shimon, and that's how he interprets the pasuk in reference to a conversation between. It's a very, you don't hear this insight, fascinating insight, how Yerovam ben Nevat, you always learn about the Aseres HaShvatim, he actually felt entitled. He felt that it's his due. It's my legal right to control, to dominate the Jewish people because of a pasuk in the end of Parashas Miketz, Hinenu l'cha la'avodim. The Jewish people are all slaves to Yosef. Masha kone evet kone rabo. That's a fascinating insight into understanding the entire episode of the Aseres HaShvatim. He's giving himself legitimacy. You always find that in different various nations, they're always trying hard to give themselves legitimacy for crimes that they have committed. Look at the United States of America. They've never lived it down that they stole this country from the Indians. They'll never live it down. I mean, how can you justify that in the whole America is stolen? How can you justify Microsoft, everything Microsoft is stolen from Apple? How do you justify that? That's really true. The whole Windows, all the whole world, the window, you know Bill Gates is worth. You know how widespread? It's all stolen from Apple, just a knockoff. Okay, legally, you know, you can. Is it ethical just to go if someone makes a product and you copy it exactly without any attribution, without any rights? So you'll tell me, in this world, that's the way the world works. That's the business world. Is that the halachic world? I don't know. They all know, they're talking about all the smartphones today. So the smartphones say, so Apple, the moment Apple released a new smartphone, the iPhone 10, the next day, the knockoffs on the Androids are just incredible. And what are the ethics? There are a lot of people, you go online, you read the ethics. What are the ethics of these companies going and designing things that are just pure knock? I think they say Hyundai, South Africa, right? South Africa, they make all their cars. A lot of the cars that they make, they're all, so I've read, these are just knockoffs, the copies. They've stolen technology
in a legal way. There's a lot of unethical things because people have they try very, very hard to legitimize. We've made money. We've become very, 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 very wealthy. And don't go tell me that what we've done is unethical. It's certainly not illegal. And don't even chas v'shalom say that it's unethical because we are entitled. We have an entitlement. I don't know, maybe yeah, maybe not. But look, this goes back to the time over here. This medrash is an incredible insight where it goes all the way back to the time of the Aseres HaShvatim. They did things which were obviously not proper. They broke up the Malchus into two parts. And Yeravim ben Nevat, think about it. A melech has the power to do things, to take away people's property, to demand taxes. What legal right does Yeravim ben Nevat have to charge other people tax? It's your money. It's a capitalist society. What right does he have to demand you pay me 20% tax? I'm the melech. You're the melech. Who made you the melech? The Torah gave authority to one melech, David Melech Yisrael. That's it. And his descendants. What gave you the right to be call yourself a melech where you go and you can charge someone, take away his hard-earned money? Obviously, you didn't live it down. Obviously, it's a guilt complex. And this medrash opens up a whole new insight why he was able to live with himself. I'm entitled. I'm entitled. It says in the Torah, he nenu l'cha la'avodin. So it's an interesting idea, and Hashem responds, no. It says in the Torah another pasuk, V'anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm in charge, and I gave authority only to one person only, and that is to the Malchus of David, not to the Malchus of Ephraim. Let's go further in the Rashi. Now he goes back to their pshat. Okay, we're three lines down on page 180, three lines down in the wide lines. I found only al yidei oshek umozne mirma. I have found for myself power. I have found for myself success through theft and through deceit. V'yonochi Hashem Elokecha b'Eretz Mitzrayim shamivchanti bein tibush shabuchol tibush shalchein shabuchar. So here it's Hashem's response. This is very typical of Chumash. We have this idea. Rashi only says in Chumash, why do we mention? Why is Hashem coming now to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim? What happened at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Makas b'choyres. What did Hashem do? The only one who knows who is a b'chor, who is not a b'chor. This is a secret. It's not humanly possible for anyone to know who the true Bukhar is. It's only the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he shone on that night the MS. The Anochi Asham Dirifchanti, I differentiated. Beitim Shel Bukhar, Lutim Shel Bukhar. Af Ani Hayodea, Venifra, Mimoz, Ne Mirma, Ho Asuyin, Mibli, Hovin. People are able to engage in conduct, in business, and they cannot get caught. There is no way someone can catch them. But Hashem knows the emes, and He will punish from those who take advantage. The classic example of the Gemara, where a person takes his weights and he buries it in salt, and it causes the weight to change to get lighter, to become heavier, and is able, even though it says on the weight, it says 1 pound, and as a stamp of approval from the government, the inspector has approved that the weight is MS. The moment the inspector walks out, he takes the weight and he soaks it in salt water, and that causes the weight to change, either lighter or heavier to his advantage, and he uses it to trick and deceive people. Hashem says, you think you got away with it? Don't worry, the day will come when I will punish you just like I was able to differentiate between Tiba Shel Bukhar, Letiba, Sha'ina Shel Bukhar. That's the pshat. That's why the Anochi Hashem Elokecha Me'eretz Mitzrayim follows from the words of Pasuk Tes, Achosharti Matzasi Oin, Li Kol Yigiyai Lo Yimtzuli Avoin Asher Chet, because that Pasuk means, you're not going to catch me. I've committed the perfect crime. The perfect crime where you cannot get caught. Is there such a thing today as the perfect crime? That's all the novels, right? All the novels. all those sorts. The goal is to commit the perfect crime, cannot get caught. Hashem says, you think you committed the perfect crime, you're right. Maybe in this world you did commit the perfect crime, but Hashem is still the one that's mafir, and I will punish you. Next, Kol, now he actually goes back and elaborates even more. Kol yigi'ai lo yim tzu'li li, toiv l'cha, imamarta b'libcha, kol m'moini lo yehebo yisipuk l'chaper al avoyni asher chotasi. It's good for you if you were to say in your heart, all of my wealth will not be enough to atone for my sins. Kain tirgim yonason nevio omar lohoin. Now this is a different interpretation. Kol usrechoin lo yiskayam lohoin b'yom tushlam chovechoin. You're not going to be able to bribe Hashem. All of your wealth, as a new interpretation, the Navi over here, according to this interpretation of St. Klal Yisrael, do not think you're going to buy your way out of Gehenna. When the day of reckoning comes, all of your wealth is not going to be able to help you. Lo yimtsu, the lo yimtsu means lo yisupku, it will be insufficient. Kimo umatsa lohem, It will come upon them. Okay, similar expression. Lo yitoch lefarish kol yigiyai kol ha yigeim levakesh avoini lo yimsu li avon. Now, in this interpretation, he says that all the people who are trying hard to find my sins, all of the prosecuting angels who are trying very hard to find fault with me will be not successful. Shim kein hoy roi lichtav kol yigeyai. Below Yud, Belin Koy Bitseri, Aval Atosh, Eno Lashon Yogeya, El Lashon Yigia. In other words, we consistently translate Kol Yigia means all of my efforts,
right.
All of my hard work, in all of my hard work. So we have different interpretations, but it all means all of my wealth that has come through the toil of my hands. You're not going to be able to find sin, either because I got away with it. Or Rashi's first interpretation in the Mitsudos, the way he understands the Pasuk, is because you fool yourself. These individuals fool themselves in thinking that what they are doing is legal and ethical. They're blind. They're so caught up in their deceit, in their Mosnei Mirma, they're so caught up in it, it becomes a way of life. The only way you can make Parnasa is by being a God. If you cannot compete. You just cannot compete. It's so true. I used to work in such a business. We're in the marketing business. It's just amazing what goes on. I'm telling you what goes on. You ever go watch, I'll give you an example. I'm sure you'll go on the web and you see on the side are ads from Google. There are ads. Anything that you type in is something that's very relevant to what you're typing in. And with a lot of advanced technology, they're following you around for days and weeks and months. And the artificial intelligence knows exactly what's in your mind, and they know what to present you. So there are these spy tools. It's amazing what goes on. There are these spy tools where they're able to see that when someone clicks on those ads, when you click on those ads, it costs the advertiser $1, $2, $3. Every time you click on an advertisement, someone's paying a lot of money for you to click on that advertisement. So you don't want to advertise unless you know for sure that advertisement is going to
pay off.
It's going to succeed. There's a lot of statistics. So there are spy tools. So if someone keeps on advertising again and again for days and weeks, obviously it's a good ad. Because if it wasn't successful, someone is burning money, is taking thousands of dollars and putting into a furnace. If someone continues to advertise this ad for days and weeks at a time, obviously, it's worth it. Someone's making money. But most of the time, 95% of the time, it's not worth it. And so right away, people, they only advertise for a day or two, and that's it. They stop. They try something else.
How often do you hit something by accident?
So people, there are spy tools that basically monitor, it's a lot of in technology, but it's all unethical, it's totally unethical, is monitors which ads keep on appearing for a sustained period of time, which means it's successful. And then you copy it. You just take someone's hard work and their trial and error, and you copy it. You know the text, the words. You know, there's a lot of chokhmah. Just one word can make all the difference. One word. You put one word here, one word there. The color, the title, a question mark. There's so many very, very small things which make all the difference. If this fellow has been doing, been displaying this ad for 3 weeks in a row, obviously this ad really works. So you just copy it. And then you'll succeed. If this fellow took, he must have spent thousands of dollars until he perfected, and this ad was going to work. And now you come along and you just take all of his hard work and copy it. It's not humanly possible to do this. But if you make a program which monitors the web for days on end, you pick up all this information, these very sophisticated algorithms, and then you sell this information to other people who want to do the same thing. And when you do it, you injure him, you put him out of business. So these are really very deep ethical, and no one can stop me from doing this. This technology goes on all the time. It's clearly, at least my understanding, very unethical. And everyone's doing it. So what are you going to say? Well, the only way you can make parnasa is by engaging in this type of activity. And this is really good. I can tell you a lot of things are a lot, lot worse than this. So what's going on? How do you deal with this? So it's you blind yourself into believing if everyone does it, it must be mutter. That's what it means over here. Kenan. If you love to do this, and what do you say to yourself? I found success by purchasing all of these unethical tools which engage in this unethical behavior, and you say to yourself, I didn't do anything wrong. That's how everyone does. That's what everyone does. If everyone does it, it's got to be mutter. And if you're not going to let me do it, I can't make a parnasa. There's no way I can possibly survive on my own. So if I have to make a parnasa, and the only way you can make a parnasa is by engaging in these activities, and everyone does it, it must be mutter. Right? Isn't that what everyone says? That's the world. Welcome to the world of ethics.
That's the way the world grows. Everything is like
to a degree. To a degree. It's so we live in a new world now. So you're right.
This guy's idea, you
copy it. Right. So to a degree. You're right. Yes. That's really the world. He makes a car, has this feature. I copy it. I copy it. Exactly.
But I make it better.
Make it better. Exactly. Microsoft. Microsoft is just a total copy of Apple. That's how it all started.
Somebody comes out with a chocolate cake. I have a new chocolate cake. I'm going to put a cherry on top.
Okay. You're right. So there is a degree where halacha allows. I used to talk to my father about this a lot. My father was very into these things. So there's no question. There is in halacha, there is a level where it's permitted, and it's ethical, and it's expected. And that's the world. That's the world of business. That's the world it's accepted. But then there is where you really go overboard, where you go over the line. There's something which is accepted, and then there is a level where
someone has a store, opened up a store, right? Two stores away from it, the same.
Wait,
place.
Two stores next door.
Next door.
Why two stores away? In the same store. In you lease space in the same store. I can do it. So there's a degree where it's mutter and it's ethical, and then is a very, very fine line. Where it becomes very fine line, it becomes unethical. With technology, it's a whole new world. See, until now, you're dealing with brick and mortar. Brick and mortar, you're really limited to a certain degree what you can do, what you can get away with. In the world of technology, today we live in a world of technology with Amazon and advertising. You can do things that are like, wow. Wow, you can wipe out someone's business in a matter of minutes with techniques and spy tools. And you'll say it's legal. I can scour the web, but Google doesn't allow it. And you're doing certain things in order to overcome their filters and they to detect your robots. You can do amazing things. You'd be shocked what you can do if you know what you're doing. And you end up in jail. Sometimes you can't end up in jail. It's clearly illegal. And sometimes, no, you're not going to get in jail. They'll just shut you down if you get caught. If you get caught, the worst will happen is they'll shut you down.
Well, they can't write laws fast enough.
They can't write laws fast enough. The technology is so advanced. So where do you draw the line? What is the balance? What is the balance? And no one has a good answer. No one has a good answer for this. It's a very, very tough. Yeah. A lot of rabbanim don't even have a clue to understand the technology in order to paskin. Even those who do know have the ideas of Torah to understand how to deal with these issues, but to fully grasp the scope and the depth of what is going on, and it changes every day. Every day, I mean, what's going on now, the things I see going on now is amazing compared to only 2 years ago. Things are changed very, very quickly, so it's a very frightening thing. And this pasuk is a very fascinating pasuk. It's really a pasuk which touches upon the essence of business ethics, moral ethics in the marketplace. This pasuk, a person does whatever he wants. He's deceitful, and he mois nemirma. He loved to do this, and he said anything wrong. My success has come from hard work, and lo yim tzuli avoin asher chet. You're not going to find in my efforts any sin whatsoever. Hashem says, really? V'onochi Hashem elokecha mi'eretz Mitzrayim. When I took you out of Egypt, I was mavkin bein tipa shel b'char l'tipa she'ena shel b'char. Hashem sees every little thing. Hashem knows the MS, and you're fooling yourself by believing you're doing what's MS.
Rashi gives you the solution by the end.
So lo yim. So next, now you go over here. Let's finish with Rashi. Rashi od ashivcha v'ahalim achnes mitoicha sechrei mirma. So we learned the mitzudos learned this pasuk on a positive note. But Hashem says, I'm going to take you out. The day will come when it's going to be kibbutz goldis. You're going to return to Eretz Yisrael. But here he learns over here on a very negative note. Rashi, achris mitoichacha soichadei mirma. I'm going to cut out these deceitful people. V'yeshivcha v'yeholim amid mitoichacha talmidim oiskim b'toira. And instead, I'm going to cut out, but the first part is negative. The first part is I'm going to
get rid of
all the nonsense, and instead I'm going to put you in the Beis Medrash, and you're going to learn Torah. Ki mei moed harishon shehayah Yaakov ishtam. Beautiful Rashi. What's the moed? The first Beis Medrash. What was the first Beis Medrash? Yaakov ishtam yoishev oihalim Beis Medrash shel shem and the Beis Medrash shel Aver. Two different types of batei. We always like to talk about two different types of batei midrashim. Shem was like Lakewood. And Aver will call like Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, Torah im Derech Eretz, vocational school. They didn't just teach you how to learn, they taught you how to make a parnasa. After Yaakov, he spent many years living in shame. Now when his mother told him, you have to go get a parnasa, you go to Lavan, you're going to work by Lavan. Oh, first I have to go to the Beis Medrash Shel Aver and to be retrained how to serve Hashem through working for 20 years.
So he went
honestly. So here we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put us back in the two Bote Midrashim, Beis Medrash Shel Shem V'Aver. Yaakov is special because he's very good. Yaakov worked for Lavan. Lavan was the most deceitful. He was the master of deceit. Okay, it's very interesting. Yaakov, the antidote to Lavan of the Moizne Mirma was Yaakov. Yaakov worked for Lavan for how many years? 20 years. 20 years he worked for him, and he was honest. How could that possibly be? The answer is because Yaakov was trained. Before Yaakov went to work for Lavan for 20 years, he sat in the two Bati Midrashim, Shal Shem and Shal Eder. That gave him the koyach to overcome the deceit, the corruption that was found in the ultimate cesspool of the world in the home of Lavan. All right, so we have here Rashi. It's very, there's really the schmack of stuff on business ethics. It's a good hagdama to a sefer on business ethics.